This is the Doctor's Orders Radio Show with Dr. Kip Van Camp. Dr. Kip is a practicing physician with over 25 years' experience and three different board certifications in the world of medicine. Dr. Kip's general medical knowledge, coupled with his overall credentials, enable him to make difficult medical discussions easy for you to understand. Husband, dad, radiologist, professor, author, sought-after speaker, medical talk show host, Botox injector, and all-around nice guy. Here's Dr. Kip.
Welcome to Doctor's Orders, the show where we explore any and all things medical. I'm your host, Dr. Kip. Before I bring my guest on today, I want to talk about a couple different studies I came across recently that I think are pretty interesting. You know, as I used to be in family medicine, I was a family physician first and then went back and did radiology. And my listeners, they know that. They've heard me say this before. But I remember for years, I would say to parents, in fact, I heard this in residency and I thought it made a lot of sense. I would tell parents, if you have food allergies in your family or you're concerned, here are the guidelines of when we introduce certain foods for infants. So here was the guideline. So the big three are milk and milk products, eggs, and peanut products. Okay, so those were the big three. So I used to say to parents all the time, first, don't introduce cow's milk or any milk products until after the first birthday, 1 year. And then I would say the second guideline was, the recommendation was to delay introducing eggs until the second birthday, and then to delay peanut products until the third birthday. And we thought that was the standard. All right, a new study just released last month, 1,400 children surveyed or studied. And it's pretty intense study, so I think it's pretty accurate the way it was done. So the 1,400, it's from an Ontario, it's a Canada study. It's from the university in Hamilton, Ontario, known as McMaster University. Anyway, the researcher shows that overwhelmingly there is a 70 to 80% less likelihood of developing a food allergy if you introduce those products sooner. So if you introduce the milk products at 6 months instead of at a year, and you introduce the egg products at 1 year instead of 2 years, and then the peanut products at 1.5 years instead of 3 years. So they cut the time in half for every introduction of the food products. What's so amazing to me about that is and this makes sense, the people who had a history of peanut allergy, because it's such a severe allergy, they were less likely to throw away the guideline because they were so paralyzed and fearful of introducing that food product. But they found when they did the skin testing, which that's what they did, so they tested these young infants all the way through to 3 years of age, and then had the benchmark or had the date at which the cow's milk, the milk products, the eggs, and the peanuts were introduced, and they found that they had an 70 to 80% decrease in likelihood of developing a food allergy at a later time in life. And then they carried it all the way up to 5 years of age. So now what the take-home message was, if you have a food allergy, you don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't just, if you have a family history of high peanut allergy, you probably don't want to go straight to this. You want to talk to your doctor and do this under a real controlled environment. But it still doesn't, it just shows. We used to say the immune system is in flux the first 3 years of life because all those changes are going about, all the development is happening. And now we're understanding that's not really true. So how, it's so amazing how these things get carried on for years and they're really more based on what we thought was common sense or on even tradition or wives' tales. And here we are practicing medicine that way. So I always love finding the studies that disprove the myths that we've been doing for years. All right. Now this ties, why did I introduce the show this way? This ties right into our guest in many ways because our guest knows a lot about a lot of different topics. She works with physicians. My guest today is Carolyn Blazovsky, and Carolyn is America's healthy home expert. For more than 16 years, she's been helping homeowners and physicians diagnose problems that might be lurking in your home. So she's one of those folks, when we as physicians are flummoxed and we don't know what to do, and we say we've tried everything, and we still can't figure out why you're having problems or your child's having problems, we call a new expert in, and that's Carolyn. Carolyn, welcome to Doctor's Orders. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you take anything I said about food allergies and run with that?
I can, and I think it's interesting that you brought up the peanut allergy, because what we found, actually, a lab that I work with that does a lot of protein testing, they did a study out of Harvard where they did about, I think it was about 1,000 homes, and they looked at different proteins. And what they found now, which is, this was just a new study within the last year. It didn't even come out in the public. It was done privately, and I actually got information about it. But they found that out of all the homes they tested, peanut allergy was prevalent in almost every home, which to me sort of rings true, because when we start to see this constant influx of these people having peanut allergies, and now we're seeing in homes that this is like a prevalent protein allergy that's hanging around, I think our exposure to protein, the peanut protein, has become obviously much more abundant. So I just thought it was interesting that we're talking about peanuts, but now we have this issue where most every home does have peanut allergy exposure. So what we do with that information is kind of going to be interesting to see, you know, maybe this is part of the reason we are having more influx of peanut allergies, because it is just so prevalent, you know, in our environment.
I think what will happen with this 1,400-person study out of Canada, this will be the probably one of the first studies that will trigger an NIH study that will be a double-blind placebo study, and we'll go to, you know, 5,000 infants or pediatric patients, and we'll change. What it'll lead to is a complete change in our nutritional guidelines, but it'll take 2 decades for it to work all the way through. And that's how these things work in medicine. So let's talk about you for a moment, and let me introduce a couple other things. I have a friend who has since passed away. She was very into the devices you could buy for your home that would humidify the air. And then she also had a thing that would clear the air of a lot of the foreign objects floating around in the air. And she would come and set these things up in homes. And over time, it almost became to an extreme where if you went out and dug 50 holes to plant 50 trees, and then the next morning you woke up with a stiff neck or you woke up with a sore back, this lady would say, well, it's because of your environment and it's because of what's floating in the air. And so it became almost to the extreme. So was she actually more onto it? This is 25 years ago. Was she more right? And were we wrong in our thinking? Because overwhelmingly, America abuses everything. We abuse our environment. We abuse our bodies. We abuse ourselves. Now, we've tried to swing the pendulum back, but we're the throwaway society. So did this lady I'm speaking of, was she more in tune with our environment than the rest of us should have been?
I think that what has happened, I think that our bodies are pretty durable, and I think that they can tolerate a few insults and take a lot of things over the years. But what happens sometimes is that there's this magic cocktail that happens. And this is just my opinion from doing this for 16 years. But when you start to get, you know, say you have a heavy exposure to mold, and then on top of that maybe you have a new house or you just did major renovation and construction, and then you've got some pesticide spraying going on the property. And then, you know, you're using a lot of products that have extensive high VOCs. When I see these magical cocktails sort of happen, that's when I'll start to see a lot of complaints and we'll start to see health complaints. Also, if one of these categories gets really out of kilter, because when I look at homes across the country, I examine, you know, homes across 50 states. And can I find mold in almost every house? Absolutely. But there's different levels of mold, and it's when those levels get exceedingly high that we start to see more symptoms. So, yes, I think she was right. Yes, I think that you can take it to an extreme. But I think that nowadays you have to be cognizant of how many of these contaminants or toxins or anything that's going to insult the body you have, and you've got to keep a level on it. And that's my job. My job is to test these things and say, okay, this level's okay. You've got something that I see which is sort of normal across the country, but then you get homes where you've got this excessive amount which needs to be rectified.
Okay, we're up against a break here in about a minute, so here's what I'm going to do. Introduce one more thing with medicine. Some of the things I've noticed myself, 30 years ago, we did not have the laminar flow technology. We did not have the filtration systems in orthopedics. And then medicine was revolutionized when we changed the entire filtration system for the operating rooms, especially for any type of a prosthesis or any type of a total joint, any foreign object that was being brought in and put into the body, a heart valve. And the infection rates, even though they were already low, they went plummeting down because we realized the environment was so important. We had to clean the air so that we knew that even for the brief moment that the prosthetic heart valve or that the prosthetic total knee joint was out open to the air, that it didn't get exposed to some bacteria or some allergen or whatever that was then carried into the body when this device was surgically implanted. Okay, so that revolutionized infection rates and how we do orthopedic surgery today and heart surgeries or any of the heart surgeries with foreign material. So that's one thing. The second thing has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it's an interesting thing I just found that it just shows where medicine will go. Medicine will go anywhere. So any woman out there who suffers from menometrorrhagia, okay, big fancy word, which means a very heavy period, okay, don't go away because you're going to want to know that. You remember Robin Williams before he passed away? Remember in Mrs. Doubtfire, he used to say, "Help is on the way, dear. Help is on the way, dear. Don't go away. You're going to want to know what I'm talking about." So we'll be back in a minute, and then you'll get the cliffhanger here. You get the answer to that question. This is Doctor's Orders. We'll be right back.
It's the Doctor's Orders program with Dr. Kip Van Camp.
Welcome back to Doctor's Orders. This is the second segment of the show. Okay, I ended the last segment saying any woman out there who suffers from menometrorrhagia, which means extreme heavy and maybe painful menstrual bleeding, so you have a worse period of your life. Well, women who have uterine fibroids or women who are at different phases of their life, you know, women who are premenopausal may have severe bleeding, or they may have a fibroid causing bleeding, or there may just be a hormonal imbalance that causes this excessive bleeding. Okay, smart technology, it gets into everything. So all you have to do is if you think it's going to happen. But you may not believe it's possible. So I would have never in my wildest dream. Okay, Judy Jetson would have never thought, even though the Jetsons were such space age, you know, on the Jetsons, the cartoon, they would have never come up with this. She would have never dreamt that this was possible. Okay, there is now a smart device it's called the Smart Tampon. The name of this startup company is MyFlow.com. They're looking for investors. Now, I'm not here to promote, never talk to the people. I have no idea. So my disclaimer, I have nothing to do with this company. But here's the deal. This is how it works. The string on the tampon is equipped with Bluetooth technology. And then the packaging, so when you open up this tampon, there's a little button that you place somewhere on your body. I think it's a sticky button that you place on your body. And then you also download the app onto your smartphone. And then everything takes place. So the tampon is inserted. Woman has excessive bleeding. The tampon gets full. She doesn't realize it's full. And the smartphone app triggers a buzzer that says, "Hey, the tampon's almost full. It's at this capacity." So this can prevent severe embarrassing situations. This can help women to know how many tampons they may need. Sensitive topic, I get it. I'm sure the men out there are going, "What are you talking about?" But because I start the show saying, "Welcome to Doctor's Orders, the show where we explore any and all things medical," that's why we talk about everything. So there you go. Now, here's the problem. There's always a catch. Here's the problem. Apparently, women's, any of these items, any of these necessary toiletry items are expensive. The feminine products are expensive, apparently. And so my wife could answer that better than me. But, you know, the men don't want to have to go down that aisle of the grocery store. And we don't like having to buy them when we do. It's an embarrassing thing for most of us. Well, anyway, because they're expensive, when you put this technology in there, they're really trying to figure out how to keep the cost down. Now, if you have this problem, you may not care. I don't know. That may be, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. But anyway, there you go. Just strange and odd things that are coming down the pike in technology and in medicine. There you go, the smart tampon. All right, now let me bring our guest back on. Carolyn, there you go. There's another odd but unusual thing for us to talk about, if you have any insight or any input.
No, that's just amazing that smartphones are involved in our cycles now.
Don't you think? Yeah, I know. That's something.
Nothing is sacred anymore.
Nothing sacred. Don't you think there will be a smartphone app, or maybe there already is, that tells you exactly what your environment is like in your home?
We have it. It's available. I have one on my phone.
So you walk into a home and you look at the readings and say, oh, you've got a mold problem or whatever.
There's a camera technology. There's a couple things that are coming to market. That one is in market. It's a camera with a built-in humidity monitor, temperature monitor, and abnormal or unabnormal reading for, you know, volatile organics and gases. And then there's another product coming to market soon that is just, you know, all sensor monitors for all types of things, ozone, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide.
You know, I get into an airplane. I fly out to one of the hospitals I cover, and I have a pilot who flies me. And this pilot is always showing me all the latest technology. And he's saying, now look at this monitor. This tells us what our carbon monoxide readings are. This tells me whether we need to be worried about our oxygen. And he shows me all these monitors. This has been going on forever. So why isn't every home already, why don't we have all of these, you know, you get into an airplane and it tells you exactly what's in the air environment, the air that you're inhaling. Why couldn't that happen in everyone's home, and shouldn't it?
Yeah, it's coming. I mean, it's definitely, we're right on the cusp of it, you know, starting to really just become prevalent everywhere. So
you have a controlled room that has lights and sound and video and air purification or air analysis.
Right. So the unit that I'm currently using is a camera. It's a device that you plug in. I actually have it in my basement because my basement is the area of most concern to me. You plug it in, and basically it's monitoring relative humidity, temperature, and gases and volatile organics, and then it beeps your phone when, you know, you can set your level. I usually recommend for clients, I want 30 to 50% relative humidity, so you could set it. So if it goes over 50, it's going to beep. Also for temperature control, at this time of year in the summer months, we get really concerned about dust mites, because when you get over 70 degrees, what happens is a lot of these things, mold, bugs, dust mites, they all proliferate when they get the right temperature and, you know, moisture. They're just like people. They need food, air, and water. So when they get these things, then they start to grow. So by keeping your temperature down in the summer months under 70 degrees, you can really control dust mites, which helps a lot with asthma and allergy patients.
You know, how did you get into this line of work? Because I'm sitting here, you're obviously an authority and an expert on this. How did this happen?
I started because I developed, in my 20s, I developed allergies. And then I started, you know, visiting physicians, and I wasn't getting the answers. I was getting, you know, take this medicine, take this. But I was a very health-oriented person, and I said, I don't want to take medicine. I want to know what's causing these things. And then I started to investigate, and I met with every environmental physician, and then I started taking programs and learning about the environment, because, you know, you're going back 20 years, people weren't really looking at environmental aspects back then at all, zero. So when I started talking about molds could make you sick, or that there were things in the home that were not, you know, healthy, people looked at me like I had two heads, so I developed a very thick skin. And then as time progressed, like you explained earlier in the segment, people's perspective changes. Now people realize molds do make you sick. Molds need to be tested when you're buying a property or real estate, or, you know, these are big things that can really affect our immune system. So things do change, and even though you may be met with some initial resistance, you know, you never know what time is going to bring. So,
well, I agree with that. Now, talk to me about, let's break it down into some of the specific topics, okay? You've mentioned mold several times. Talk to me about mold. Explain, you know, when we have a mold, if a person gets a fungal infection or they develop some type of fungitis, then we actually test that. We grow it on a petri dish. We tell what type of fungus it is, and then we give the right antifungal medicine for it. So explain how you do this in a home.
Okay, so, and as you know, there's thousands of molds and fungi. I mean, there's just, you know, thousands of species. And what we do is, what we look at in a home is we look at what's naturally occurring outside. So when we take air samples, we developed a kit. Actually, in 2005, I helped develop a kit that's used now residentially and with physicians. and it's called the Examinair. And what it is it's a pump with four cassettes in it, microfive cassettes. And what you're doing is taking an outside sample, which tells you what's naturally occurring in your environment, what's naturally occurring in the outside air, and then you're comparing it to three samples that you take within your home. So I usually recommend one on each level. So if you have a basement, a first floor, a second floor, you're going to take a sample on each. And it's an air sample, and it takes about 5 minutes. That goes to the laboratory, and that's exactly what we do. We analyze it out for what kinds of molds you have, what are the levels that are different inside and outside, what species do you have inside and outside, if you have toxic mold species that can obviously affect your immune system, and then we, you know, inform the client of what they have and help them to remediate those spaces in their home.
Now, have you been doing, you said you started this 16 to 20 years ago. Have you, is there a degree a person gets to become?
Yes, I mean, there's lots of, I became originally certified in mold remediation because I was interested in, you know, how to get rid of molds out of the home. So I did mold remediation. Then I went back for indoor air quality certifications and testing air. You know, you can go an MPH route, which is, you know, what I've chosen to do, or you can go an industrial hygienist route. And then there's certifications through NEHA, which I did a healthy home certification. So there's so many different programs now. I mean, originally when I started, there were very few, but now they're starting to really, you know, become more prevalent.
Well, when we come back, we're up against our next break, but when we come back, I've got some more things to ask you, more questions about the home and more questions about what might be lurking in the darkness. So don't go away. We're talking about our home, our air purification. We're talking about how the home can be a safer environment for us from a medical standpoint, from an overall general health standpoint. And so I think you'll be fascinated. I certainly have been fascinated talking to Carolyn. So continue to listen. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Doctor's Orders.
You're listening to Doctor's Orders with Dr. Kip.
Welcome back to Doctor's Orders. I'm talking with Carolyn Blazowski today, and we're talking about the environment. During the break, we were talking about, I gave her a story, and I think she can take this and run with this, two different things that we talked about. First, I have a friend who's a dentist. I grew up with him. His son was in an architecture program. Right before the second to last year of the program, the son announces, I'm going to need 2 to 3 more years of training because I'm going to become an acoustics expert. His dad says, I think he's just trying to stay in school because it's protected there and it's a nice cush lifestyle compared to going out into the real world and working. But he keeps insisting on it, so I'm going to support him with it. So his son does this. Well, he fast forward, he finishes his acoustics subspecialty of architecture, and he gets a $20,000 higher starting salary than everyone else in his class because he's now an acoustic expert. And there's like a handful of them around the whole country. So he's found a niche that makes him so unique and special. And then he starts telling the stories of what his son's doing, and it's fascinating. One was when the ships came into the harbor in Boston, the noise was so loud that some of the sea animals were being affected, even at one of their local zoological or whatever it would be, the oceanographer company where they have whatever they do, you know. So these animals are being affected. So they call in the acoustics expert who's going to redesign how the ships enter the harbor and what the access to the harbor looks like. And so here's Marlon's son as an expert on this. Okay, so then I said to Carolyn on the break, I said, there's got to be a whole new subspecialty in medicine. And she says, well, yeah, there is. So Carolyn, take all that and run with it.
So yeah, I think it's really important when you do have an idea. I think this just is so relevant to what you're saying, is that, you know, when you think that you understand something, you have understanding, go with that. And in my particular business, you know, studying indoor air quality, I felt it was really relevant for me to go back to architecture school as well, because I found that if you really wanted to understand indoor air quality, you had to understand how the building was built. You had to understand the mechanics of the building, whether it was the ventilation, the air conditioning, the building products that were used. And if you didn't, you were really doing a disservice to your client. And a lot of people don't understand that. So that's what makes me really unique, is that I do have that background, as well as having, you know, pursuing a medical degree now that is going to now incorporate these new MPH programs, are going to incorporate environmental medicine into the program. So we're constantly growing and changing and learning new stuff. So.
Has it been a difficult process? Because I think orthodox medicine, it's only been in the very recent few years that doctors have started to listen. Because before, that was just a bunch of hooey.
Yeah.
The environment, are you kidding? It's not a mold problem. There's something else we're missing. That's
Absolutely.
How we used to look at it.
And I mean, I consider myself, you know, without touting my own horn, but a pioneer. I mean, I've been one of the people for 20 years that has been pushing, look, we've lost this piece. When, you know, doctors used to come to the house and evaluate a patient back in, you know, I used the Little House on the Prairie episodes where Doc Baker came to the house and saw the patient, you were able to see environmental factors. You could see if someone was living in dirt, debris, mold, dampness, whatever it was. But now when we go to an office, that piece of the puzzle is lost. And unfortunately, when a patient comes in to see you, they don't know that they're necessarily living with dander or dust, or they don't know they're not cleaning properly. It's not something they're going to say, hey, by the way, doc, you know, I don't vacuum my house every week, or I've got a lot of clutter in the basement and a moldy basement. They're just not information they're going to provide to you. So what our test kits do is they give that doctor that piece of information, says, look, run this test. You're going to know about your client's dander. You're going to know about molds. You're going to know about their chemical load, what they're using in their homes, down to, you know, if they're using Clorox wipes, if they're drinking wine. All of this stuff comes up on these volatile organic tests. And then you've got a better understanding of your patient, which to me is really important.
So what are some of the basic medical ailments that you've seen that everyone thought was totally unrelated and to an environmental issue, and you came in and said, wait, and now the patient's fine. They're healthy.
I mean, it's been things, you know, chronic things, headaches, sinusitis, chronic sinus infections are huge. I mean, typically when we see people coming down with a lot of this chronic infections and pneumonia particularly, and they end up and they said, look, I've had pneumonia 3 times and there's no answer here, it's usually a mold problem, and it's usually a toxic mold problem. And then we have things with learning disabilities with children who have had, you know, autism-y type on the spectrum symptoms, have bedrooms that have been over garages where they're inhaling a lot of chemicals since birth. You know, since the moment they've come home, they've been exposed to high levels of chemicals. Things like that can improve. We see a lot of people, you know, obviously suffering with headaches and just, you know, very chronic conditions that they really got no answers with.
Do you think fibromyalgia is directly related to environment?
Yeah, I think it's one of these toxic overload situations. And I think it's, you know, in my opinion, again, they're all opinions, but we see these, the body gets overloaded. So you've got all of these toxins that build up. And toxic mold gets blamed for a lot of things that it's not responsible for either. Like, so I'll go into a house and someone will say, look, I had toxic mold. This is why I'm sick. I'm like, well, let's look at your volatile organic load. And then we start to look at the chemicals that were also in that environment. And this is where I get back to that cocktail of, you know, there's a trifecta that happens. It's mold gets blamed in some circumstances where I've seen the volatile organics or the total VOCs that these people are exposed to were also high. So it was both. So I try to explain to people, you don't always want to blame it on mold. You've got to look at a bunch of other things to make sure that it's not this cocktail that's happening.
Well, you know, I was thinking about someone comes into a home. Maybe you're buying a new home. So your family comes, you look at several homes, you get ready to purchase a home. You fall in love with the architecture of it, the shape of it, whatever, the location, and then you go and you buy the home, and then you get in there, and all of a sudden, something just doesn't feel right. You're not feeling very well. You think, have I made a mistake? You know, doctors want a blood test. Doctors want to be able to say, I'm going to test this, and I'm going to do this one blood test. We're going to send it off to the lab, and they're going to analyze and tell me exactly what you got. Can it become that simple?
Yeah.
Is something that practical?
Yeah, and that's the test kits that we've been using with physicians and across the country now. And the physicians who are interested in, I think, really solving problems and saying, look, I just don't want to send my patient off. I want to find out what's wrong. And that's what it is. You look, okay, do you have mold? Boom, yes, no. Do you have high volatile organics? Yes, no. These VOC tests for chemicals, I can tell you down to the products that you're using. I can tell if you're using, you know, antiseptic wipes. I can tell you if you're drinking alcohol. I can tell you if you have mothballs, if you have gasoline, if you're storing pesticide. These tests are very, very, very descriptive. So they're going to give you all these chemical compounds, and it makes, you know, everything much easier.
Well, what you're saying to me, you said a lot of things, very interesting things, but one thing you're saying to me, too, is that our body is unbelievable. This vehicle that we walk around with, that we were given, this vehicle has all kinds of capabilities we don't even understand. And it is absorbing and taking in everything that we're exposed to all the time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's just give and take all the time. And we think we're so smart. We think in the 21st century we've got it all figured out. And yet we're really just beginning to understand how the whole body works. And so that's really what my take-home thing here is, what we've been talking about. We're already up against the next break. We have two short segments left, so don't go away. We're going to, now here's what Carolyn's going to do for us. She's going to tell us how to look at our home. If we're newcomers to this whole idea and we want to get started down this process to make sure our home is safe and healthy, what's lurking in the darkness? What are the danger areas of our home, and what do we need to do to make things a more healthy environment? So that's what we're going to talk about on the second to last segment. Don't go away. This is Doctor's Orders. I'm Dr. Kip.
You're listening to Doctor's Orders. Once again, here's Dr. Kip.
This is Doctor's Orders. This is the fourth segment of the show. We're almost finished with today's show. And it's been an interesting show, and it's been eye-opening for me. You know that old saying, you are what you eat? Well, in this case, you are at least a product of your environment. You actually, your body takes on and becomes a part of your environment. And Carolyn Blazowski today is living proof of that. She's showing us that this is true. So Carolyn, there you go. Tell me why that's a true statement.
Well, off the air, we were sort of talking about our Volta organic testing and what a TVOC is, basically, or in layman's terms, for all those people who don't understand, it's we're looking at how many chemicals you're exposed to in a day. Your TVOC level is Volta organic compounds that come off personal care products, things that you bring into your home, gasoline, any type of building.
So it could be something that's floating in the air. It could be something that you have washed your clothes in. It could be a type of shampoo you use. It could be something you've eaten. It could be anything that
Absolutely.
You've been exposed to.
Absolutely. Okay. And then what we're doing is looking at these exposures. We come up with a number, and then we're basing that against all the other houses we look at across the country. So we can tell if your TVOCs are too high or too low. And then we can tell you exactly.
Which, by the way, that's how all lab tests are decided too. Okay. If you take all comers and you test their thyroid levels, then they say these are the normal levels because 95% of the people live in this level. But the 5% who are out of this level, that's how we come up with our out of range numbers.
Exactly. So the more you look at, obviously, across the country, it becomes more.
It's more actual, it's more factual, and it's so now you're not just looking, you're not throwing a dart into the air, you're actually hitting a dartboard target.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and what's interesting about these TVOCs is that we're able to tell people specifically, okay, you're using antiseptic wipes, we see you're storing paint in your garage, we see that you're using mothballs, we see that you've got high levels of gasoline. Down to each individual product, we're able to tell the client that they're using this, and they are just floored. They come back and they say, how do you know this?
Do they think you're putting spying on them, have cameras in their house
or something? Exactly. They can't believe that
you're
can actually...
CSI, whatever the location.
It's exactly true. And it's amazing now with the technology that we are able to ascertain these things. And we know, stop using this. You know, you've got too many personal care products, too much fragrance. You're using essential oils are a big thing because people think because something's green that they can just use it in abundance. And what's interesting is green things are chemicals, too. They produce VOCs, limonene, pine, eucalyptus, lavender. These are all natural things, but they're TVOCs. They put off chemicals. So your body doesn't recognize the difference. It can't say, hey, that's a synthetic and this is a natural one. They all go into the same category. So it's important. Just because something's green doesn't mean it's okay to use all the time.
I think that's pretty funny. Modern medicine thinks we've invented everything and figured out everything. But 150 years ago, we didn't even have many drugs. There were essentially no drugs. We didn't have synthetic drugs, man-made drugs. We had roots, we had herbs, we had spices, we had any type of concoctions that the medicine man could come up with. And that might have been a barber, it might have been a pharmacist. It's all kinds of, the history of medicine is fascinating. And we think that we've always had digoxin, or we think that there's always been Lopressor. And that's all happened in the last 50 years, most of them. But 150 when you go back to antibiotics and things. And so just because antibiotics have revolutionized how we treat disease, it doesn't mean that you can keep throwing drugs at people. And it doesn't mean that the body functions better when they have drugs on board. It actually functions less effectively. So this polypharmacy, this multiple drug use that the elderly in America are having thrown at them every day because specialists don't know what the other specialist is doing and no one's overseeing everything. That's what's gotten us into a lot of trouble. And that's kind of what you're saying about the environment. We think something is green. It's a natural product. It says natural. Of course, that's a whole nother topic and a whole nother show. But natural doesn't even mean what we think it means because the FDA hasn't defined it yet. So natural, when it says natural, don't think that that means, oh, it was grown out in a field with no chemicals on it necessarily. Natural doesn't even have a true definition yet. That's a big issue with the FDA right now. And we think, just because natural's great, we'll use all we want, which is just what Carolyn talked about. That can be unhealthy for you. And so she's able to the nth degree tell you what chemicals has your body been exposed to. So she's the detective who comes in and tells you, well, you don't think that you're overusing the green products, but actually you are, and here's why.
Exactly. And it happens more frequently than you think. People say, they'll go to the grocery store and they'll say, well, this product, I'm buying all green products, or they'll say, oh, my home's completely organic, and then I'll run these tests, and their home is not organic at all. And I'm like, well, you're using, you know, Febreze products. That's not a natural product. It's synthetic. And they go, oh, well, I thought that was a green product. So people just, it's not that they're doing these things intentionally. They don't know.
They don't know any better. And it's a great marketing campaign, and they've bought in. And so that's why there's this whole push with the FDA. Now with the social media, everyone has a bully pulpit to speak their mind. And it's phenomenal what's happened to the word natural. And the FDA is under a lot of scrutiny because they have allowed natural to become something it isn't. They haven't really defined this, and they've done it because they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to define it. And so America or businesses were able to put the word natural in front of everything. And then the person said, well, it says natural, so it has to be great for you. So I'm just going to take all I need. I'm just keep taking it, whatever it is. And now they're toxic and they're feeling miserable. And it's because they think they should be feeling great, but they're overdoing something in their home. And they don't even realize it.
Go ahead. Interesting, too, is another physician that I had a discussion with was talking about, and I knew it was quick, but I didn't realize it was this quick. When you put something on your skin's your largest bodily organ, whether you're using laundry detergent that's staying in your clothes, that's on your skin every day, or personal care products. Women are notorious for this, just laying their body with, you know, self-tan or to moisturize or to makeup. They actually said that the minute it hits your skin, it's like it's like 5 to 6 seconds that it's absorbed into your bloodstream. It's so quick.
Yeah, it's phenomenal how that works. We're already up against a break, but we'll talk about that before Carolyn gives you her contact information. So don't go away. You want to know how to get a hold of Carolyn if you have an interest in this. We'll be right back.
It's the Doctor's Orders Program with Dr. Kip Van Camp.
Well, this is it, the final segment of Doctor's Orders for the week. Appreciate everyone listening. Carolyn has been a wonderful guest. It's always good to broaden the host's mind, and that's what's happened today. I had been studying this some, but not in any depth, and I've kind of been the naysayer for years, and I've always wondered how much does the environment affect us, and what Carolyn is convincing me, it affects us so much more than we even understand. It's right there every day, everything we're exposed to, like a sponge, our body's absorbing it just by coming in exposure to it, just by coming into contact to something. And that carries with us, whether it's, you know, depending on what it is, how long that lasts. You know, you think of something like uranium that has a 92 year half-life. If you were exposed to that, no wonder it destroys the body. You know, how long do some of these things hang around? So, Carolyn, you've really been an insightful and an enlightening guest for me, and I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Now, can you tell our listening audience how they get a hold of you if they have any reason they might want
to? Sure. The first thing you want to do, you can always go to our website, which is healthyhomeexpert.com. That's really easy to remember. So healthyhomeexpert.com. And we have all kinds of media information and shows just like this one that you can listen to and get information about how you can improve your home space.
Is this a typical person who might contact you? Someone who is at their wit's end? The modern medicine hasn't been able to figure out what's wrong?
Definitely. I mean, definitely if you're having symptoms in your home, that's the first thing I was going to say is, look, if you're having unexplained symptoms, not getting any answers, you're not getting better, start looking at your environment. Start looking at what am I exposed to? And that's just not your home, but also, you know, where you work. And start to do some testing. You can do it on your own or you can do it with a physician and start to get some ideas of as to what could be going on in the environment that could be kind of taxing your
body. Is this going to be really expensive?
No, testing really isn't. It's, you know, if you do mold testing or allergen testing, it's about $400. If you do Volatile Organics, it's about the same, $400, depending if you do formaldehydes. So no, I mean, comparatively to what we spend in medical, it's really nothing. So you can, and you can do one test a year. You don't have to feel like you have to do everything all at once. I say each year do one thing to help improve your wellness at home. So,
all right. So you just led me to the next comment, so, or the final thing for the show. I always give out doctor's orders for the week. So give people their orders, their physician orders, that would maybe help them improve their environment.
Okay. So first thing to do is test your home for mold every 3 to 5 years. So if you haven't had a mold test and an allergen test, you need to do that. The second thing I'd like people to do is start being very cognizant about laundry products and body products. Try to use things that are unscented. Pick products that don't have a lot of fragrance. Fragrance contains or can contain up to 600 different chemicals just in the word fragrance. So if you start to reduce a lot of these extra fragrancy things, it's going to be a lot healthier for you. And then thirdly, each year try to do one healthy thing for your home, whether you get radon tested, mold tested, you do Volatile Organics. One thing a year, improve the wellness in your home to help keep your body well.
Very well said, Carolyn. I appreciate your time. Thanks for being the guest.
Thank you for having me. It was really great. Really wonderful.
Good to have you on the show. We'll get you back. We'll have a specific topic that comes up, and we'll get you back very soon, I'm sure. And that's it for the week. Everyone have a great week. Thanks for listening. This is Doctor's Orders.
This has been Doctor's Orders with Dr. Kip Van Camp. Please understand what we talk about on this show is only for your education and entertainment. Please consult with your physician before moving forward with any ideas discussed on our show. And please join us again next week for more Doctor's Orders.